Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly one of our more memorable song times. Kelsey, we're usually a little better than that. Not much, but a little. So we'll try to get better as the day goes on. But again, once again, we are thankful for this opportunity to come into the house of the Lord today, and I hope that you're just as thankful as I am. I believe you are, just in your testimony, as I've seen you walk in the door today. I hope that you've been praying for the services today, praying that the Lord might be honored, glorified in all that we do, everything that we say. And if not, continue to pray. Pray that the Lord might be with us truly in a mighty way today. Now, I told you last week that as we enter these times together in these morning services, the kids are away from us and all the other adults that are away from us right now, that one of the things that I would do is let you know a little bit about what they're studying so that when you go home, you can talk to them a little bit about what's been said. Now, they are doing a Hawaiian theme. That's kind of the basis of the things. And each week, they are looking at a different word, and from that word, they're springing into something else. Last week, the word was sand, and they looked at the promise of God to Abraham that he would make his descendants as the sand of the seashore. And then they began to look at the promises of God and looked at God as a promise keeper. Today, the word that they're looking at is sun, S-U-N. And as we look at that word, the key verse is from Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2, where it speaks of the coming of the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, of righteousness. And, of course, that is the Messiah and how he's going to come to this earth. And to be, as he comes, he's going to be the light of the world. So that is a fulfillment of one of the promises of God. So that's what they'll be looking at today, is Jesus Christ as the light of the world. So be sure to ask them that later on today as you get the chance. Now, before we get started any further of the service today, we do want to go to the Lord in prayer, ask His blessings upon this time together. If you would, bow your heads with me. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come in Thy presence, O Lord, how we thank You for this day. And Lord, how we thank You for this time together. And Father, how You've just blessed us with so many great and wonderful blessings, Lord. And Father, we just thank You for everyone that's gathered here today. Lord, we thank You for those that have gathered next door. And Lord, we just pray for a time of blessing in the services today, that, Lord, Your word might go forth, that seeds might be sown in the lives of all that are here. Lord, we pray for those who are saved, that, Father, they might be further edified in their life, that, Lord, they might serve Thee better tomorrow than they have even, Lord, today. And Lord, we pray that if there be any loss, that, Lord, that those seeds might spring forth into eternal life. Father, we just again, we lift up those who can't be here today, who have great desire to be here. Lord, we think of our elder that we have here today, Lord, and as part of our church here. And Lord, we just lift them up before You. Pray for those upon our prayer list, Lord. And Father, we just pray that You would go with us now, Lord. Give me the words to say this day. Be with our teachers next door. Give them the words to say as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, this morning we're going to continue on in our study in the Gospel of John, in this study that we've been doing now for quite some time. But as we've come to this portion of John, we've come to a very reverent place in Scripture now, as Jesus Christ is no longer with the crowds. He's really not even focused upon the disciples here at this point in time, the apostles that are around Him. We're now in the last few hours of His life. We're in the last really hour or two, maybe, here of His free life before He's taken as a prisoner. But here we find that He's praying to the Father above. And what we have recorded for us in John in chapter 17 is the longest prayer recorded in the Word of God that Jesus prayed. And this truly is the Lord's Prayer. Now, last week we looked at the first 15 verses of this chapter. We saw Christ as He began to pray here. He looked past the cross. He looked towards that time that He would receive His glory, the same glory that He left behind there to come to this earth. But He looked to the glory that He would have once again in heaven as He stood beside the Father making intercession for the prayers of the saints. And it is in this prayer that we see here just how Jesus keeps us In this prayer, we also see the limited nature of those in whom Christ came to die for. And in the end, we saw that he prayed that the devil would not have dominion over us. And certainly the devil doesn't have dominion over us. You know, as a Christian, sometimes we feel like the devil maybe is right on our tail, just kind of chomping at our backsides, and sometimes he does. But folks, as a Christian, Satan does not and cannot have dominion over you. Christ has already gained victory over Satan there upon the cross. So with some of those things in mind, let's look in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, and we'll be beginning here in verse number 16. Verse number 16. And it says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now here, he's speaking about Christians. He's speaking about those who came to die for. And as a Christian, you know, there are probably times in your life that you feel like maybe that you don't quite blend in, that you don't quite fit the mold. Sometimes in your Christian life when you feel like everyone else is doing X, Y, Z, and you just can't go along with X, Y, Z. You can't bring yourself to do those things. Well, the reason you don't fit into this world as a Christian is because you're not of this world. Your thoughts don't dwell upon the here and now. Your thoughts are set, certainly, on home. And as I speak about home, I'm not talking about a home on Brentwood Terrace. I'm not talking about a home there on Garrett's Creek or up Buffalo Creek or whatever it might be. But I'm not talking about the house where you live, but I'm talking surely about a heavenly home. You know, when I was in school and I was there in Iowa for some time, you know, one thing about Iowa is I really loved it. I loved the city that I was in. See, I can say that because Heather's not here. But I really liked the city. I really liked everything that was there. But except for the winters, never got used to that and hated that part. But you know what? I never referred to it as my home. You know, as many years as I was there, I think I was there for almost 4 years, never referred to that as going home. You know, when I talked about home, I meant back here. I meant a place where people didn't laugh at me because of the way that I talked. People didn't laugh at me because I wear tennis shoes with a pair of jeans, which I guess is something you're not supposed to do in other parts of the country. But, you know, I blend in here. Here was my heart was here. This is where home was. And, you know, we've heard that all of our life, right? Home is where the heart is, right? Well, folks, this morning I have to tell you I'm homesick, and I'm not homesick for Wayne County. I'm homesick for my true home. You see, my heart is set just beyond the eastern sky, there where my heavenly Father abides. My heart is set where Jesus is. That's my home. That's what I'm truly looking forward to. And my desire is to see Him and to see Him in the fullness of His glory. You know, I have some family that's already gone there. I know that you all do. I've got some grandparents there, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. And not just them. I have a lot of dear brothers, a lot of dear sisters that have meant as much to me in churches as I've grown up, as some of the people that I've been related to. Sometimes they're closer than the ones I've been related to. And you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing them as well. I'm looking forward to being at home with those whom I've loved upon this earth as we focus our love upon our Savior. But the one I am looking most forward to seeing, of course, is my Jesus, the one who loved me when I was yet unlovable. It's Him I want to be in the presence of. So yes, if you ever get the feeling that you don't quite belong in this world, then to God be the glory, because you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to be at home in this world. You're an alien. You're a stranger. A pilgrim. Just passing through. And as the book of Hebrews says, it speaks about Abraham as he was passing through this life, that he was looking for a city not made with hands. Folks, that's what we're looking for. That's our home. And that's why we don't blend in with this world. Let's keep reading in verse number 17 of John chapter 17. It says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, if you have a pen or a highlighter, this is one of those verses that ought to be underlined or highlighted in your Bible, something to draw your attention back to this verse. It's a wonderful verse. And I want to consider this verse. I want to consider, first of all, the phrase to the left of the colon. Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Now, what is sanctification? You know, to the average Christian, if you ask them what sanctification is, the first thing they do is their eyes get big and they get scared because they're afraid of what that word sounds like. It sounds like it means a whole lot, and afraid maybe they don't quite understand exactly what it all means. Kind of look like a deer caught in headlights, right? Well, as you think of the word sanctification, it's easy to go back to the Old Testament and see where things were sanctified. You know, often objects were sanctified for the temple. That is, basically set aside. That's all it means. Set aside for a special purpose. So in the temple, you had things that were sanctified, set aside for the altar, things for set aside for the incense, things like that. You know, as the priest was there, he had some tongs, and in those tongs, he would take out coals from the fire. He didn't use any old tongs. He used the ones that were sanctified, set aside for that purpose. They were holy in nature, holy instruments in nature. Through our salvation in Christ Jesus, we become sanctified. That is, we become holy because He is holy, and we become separated from this world. We're no longer of this world, right? That's what we just read in the last verse. We're not of this world. But because of this flesh, we're not as holy as we should be. We're not as holy as we could be. So we often talk about sanctification as something that is ongoing and progressive in nature. Maybe you've heard that term, progressive sanctification. And again, sounds kind of scary, but not too scary. It just means that as time goes on, we should be conforming ourselves more to the image of Christ, separating ourselves more from this world, and becoming more holy as He is holy. We should be moving towards that goal at all times. We'll kind of talk about that later in the second service today. Now, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. How is it that the Christian can become progressively sanctified? Well, it becomes partly through the learning of God through His Word. The more we discuss the Word of God, the more we read our Bibles, the more we listen at church, the more we feed that inner man, and the more we feed that inner man, the more that we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand against the temptations of this flesh, and the more we resemble our Savior Jesus Christ. I hope this day that you're filling your life with the Word of God. I hope that you're reading it. I hope that you're listening to the preaching of it. Not even just necessarily when you're here on Sundays, but you know, there's so much opportunity to listen to good gospel preaching throughout the week and throughout your day, to listen to good godly music, to fill your life full of it, to meditate with it, to read it. You know, if you are, I'm confident, if you're doing those things, that He's molding you into the image indeed of His Son, the person that He desires you to be this day. Now, let's take a look at the second part of the phrase here in verse number 17. It simply says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. You know what? I love that phrase. I love it. You know, we live in a world that is full of deceit. We live in a world that is full of all kinds of just plain out lies. You know, men and women, they make promises that as soon as they make them, they already know that they're planning on breaking them. You know, there's just no desire for men to be honest sometimes with one another. There's times, you know, when we even unwillingly spread things that are lies. Maybe we've been misinformed and we spread it more, and it just goes on and goes on, spreading untruth. Happens all the time, sometimes by accident, sometimes it's on purpose. But you know what? There is one source, and only one source that I know, that you can go to at all times and find truth. And folks, it's not CNN, and it's not the Herald Dispatch, that's for sure. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Bible that you have in your laps this morning. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2 tells us that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. He's never told something that is untruthful in nature. His Word is truth. And you know what? As you think about truth and His truth, you know, you can go back to the beginning of God's Word and you can start reading, and every promise that He has made to every person, everyone, you know what? He's fulfilled them. He's fulfilled them. Some things He's yet to fulfill, but He will fulfill them. You know, sometimes you look at a promise, sometimes God fulfilled them very quickly. Sometimes, out of the long suffering and dealing with man and his rebellion against what God's even promised to give him, you know, it's taken a while to, in some cases, but God is always true to His Word. And then you look at the promises that God has promised for us today. You know, food to eat, clothes upon your back. Those are promises of God for the believer. Has He fulfilled those things? Is He taking care of the promises of the things that He's promised to you today? Well, the answer is yes, He has. He's indeed done that. And because God, we found Him faithful in the times past, because we know He's faithful in His words right now, we know indeed that His Word is true for the things that He has told us of tomorrow. I can put my faith in everything that He's said about tomorrow because He's been faithful to everything in the past. He's faithful right now. God's Word is indeed true. You know, as we go through this life, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that God knows. I know that God knows. He's already provided for it. He's already worked it all out. God's Word is true. Because God's Word is true, we ought to be bold and standing firm upon it. You know, when God says, in the beginning, God created, you know what? I stand firm on that. I believe that God created. Why? Because the Word of God tells me. And God cannot lie. You know, when God's Word tells me that there was a great flood upon this earth that destroyed all those except for the eight that entered upon the ark and those animals that entered there, you know what? I believe it. Why? Because God's Word tells me, and God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Because of His Word, because it is true, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell others about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell them about His Son. Because the Bible tells me that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And folks, I believe that. And therefore, I'm going to tell other people about it. Because there's a lost world out there that needs to hear. And they need to have the same hope that you have in your life. The same hope of heaven. Yes, His Word is truth this day. It's a place that you can turn to and find the answers to any problem that you have. You'll not get the opinions of man. You'll not get things that change over time. You'll get the truth, the 100% truth. You may not always like it. May not always be what you want to hear, but it is the truth nonetheless. Let's continue reading verse number 18 of John chapter 17. It says, "As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." You know, the kids next door, as we told you earlier, they're talking about Jesus Christ as being the light of the world. But He also spoke of the day when He would be out of this world, and as He was out of this world, that we would be indeed the light of it. We'll be the light of it. One of the things that the kids will do today as they sing their songs, is they'll be singing a song that says, "This little light of mine, this little light of mine." Such a simple song, but you know what? It's a profound thought in nature as well. You know, it's not our natural reaction to let that little light shine all over, is it? It's our natural reaction to kind of not let it burn so bright, you know, because sometimes we don't necessarily want everyone to see that light, because sometimes we're scared. A lot of times we're scared, in fact. We're scared of what people might say about us. We're scared about what people may say directly to us. And you know what? In some parts of the world, you let that light shine real bright. You know what? You're worried about what they may physically do to you as well. And certainly we see the evidence of that around the world today. Heard reports on the news that Christians are being crucified in the Middle East right now. Crucified. That's just a it's hard to imagine that we're living in times when that could happen again. But it's going on right now. But in all of these things, it doesn't change the command of Christ. It doesn't command the change of Christ, even though we may be scared, even though we may be worried. You know, the words of Matthew bear repeating this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, my prayer is this day that you're going to let your light shine. Let your light shine all around until Jesus comes. That little song says that. Let it shine till Jesus comes. Let it shine because there's people that need to see it in Cerrito. There's people that need to see it in Wayne and South Point and all of these places. So let's let it shine. And as a church, as we meet together, let's let it shine brightly here in this community that so that it might be as a city on a hill that cannot truly be hid because of the light that it gives off. Now, let's continue reading on here in the Lord's Prayer in verse number 19. It says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." This is a simple truth, once again, but one of the utmost importance. In fact, it hardly gets any more important than this single point. You see, Jesus Christ is now speaking about himself as being set apart. Set apart for what? Set apart to be our substitute, to offer himself up as a lamb for us who had no hope. You know, when we were born into this world, we were born as depraved creatures. And in the course of time, we learned how to sin. We learned how to sin real good, and we learned to love it as well. We hung our hat upon it, so to say. And in the meantime, that sin was condemning us daily to a place called hell. And folks, that's what I'm really, truly worthy of this morning. I'm worthy of it. You're worthy of it because we have lived a life in rebellion against an all-holy God. I'm worthy of those torments. Man doesn't like to think he's worthy of it, but we are. That's what we're worthy of. But Christ, he came to this earth, and he set himself aside. He was sanctified for this purpose, sanctified to take my place, to suffer my hell there upon the cross as he died bearing my sins so that I might be saved and sanctified through the gospel of truth. Brothers and sisters, that's a truth this morning that you never truly get tired of thinking about. How Christ has carried our sins, nailed them to the cross, and sanctified us indeed through his truth. Let's read on. Verse number 20 now. It says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Now, Jesus Christ, so far in this prayer, the things that he has said has had an immediate relevance to those who are in ear distance of him. For those, I don't know how the apostles were arranged this night, but I'm assuming that some were in earshot of Jesus. I'm assuming John was probably in earshot of Jesus and heard him. But the things that he said has had a direct, immediate relevance to all of them. But you know, as Jesus Christ was here and he was praying for the disciples, as he was praying for the apostles, you know what? They were not the only ones who was on his mind. Isn't that something? You see, as Jesus prepared himself for the cross, he wasn't just thinking about Peter and James and John and the rest of the apostles. He wasn't thinking just about Judas who was betraying him. He wasn't thinking about all of those things, just those things. His mind was on me, and his mind was on you. He was going to the cross for my sins, and my sins were being placed upon his shoulders even here in this garden. So in this prayer, he remembers me. He remembers you. And folks, that ought to touch your heart, that Jesus Christ, as he was going through the last few hours of his life, that you were upon his heart, you were upon his mind, long before you were even ever imagined in the hearts of men. No one could have said there'll be a Glenna Griggs back then, but Jesus knew. Jesus knew of her need for a Savior. And he went that night, and her sins were being placed upon him. My sins were being placed upon him. And folks, it's a wonderful, touching thing. As we begin to think about what Christ has done for us and how he's bore our sins. But, you know, think about this, and it truly is a staggering thing. Not only has he died for us, but think about the many Christians that have been born again throughout the millennia. Thousands upon thousands, millions. Folks, Christ was praying for them. Christ knew them. Christ knew their sins. You know, that man has no ability to do that. You know, you might have 2,000 friends on your Facebook, but odds are you don't know them. But Christ, he knows them. He knows them all. Knows every bit about their lives. It's an amazing thing. Truly our God is an awesome God. Now in verse number 21, let's read on. Says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When we are saved, we become one with Christ, one with the Father. We're not equal in position necessarily, as we've talked about before, but we become one with them. Not only do we become one with God, but we also become one with other believers. You know, sometimes we sing the song, Blessed Be the Tie. I really love that song. I love the message behind the song. I love how the song was written, the circumstances. I love everything about that song. But that's how we are, folks. We are bound together with fellow believers. Their spirit bears witness with our spirit, that there is a common bond between us that goes beyond the Baptist name, folks. Not always a Baptist, but truly it goes beyond that. Now, Jesus told his disciples earlier this same night, he told them to love one another as he's loved them, and that because of that love, the world would take notice and know that they were truly of Christ. Now this verse is truly the same principle. Christ speaks of that bond of love between believers and says that because of their oneness, because of their love for one another, that others will see and others will believe. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I think sometimes we need to stop arguing with one another and cutting down everyone else that doesn't line up with us on every little jot and every little tittle and start showing love the way that God intended for us to love one another. Because you know what? The world sees enough division out there. There's division on every street. The world's not looking for more division. But when we show them love for the brotherhood, then we're showing them something different. We're showing them something special. We're showing them something unique. And God's Word says, because they see that love, they may believe. Now, that's a remarkable thing. And we should do that. Now, let's read on. Verse number 22 now. It says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, as you look in verse number 22 there, you'll see this thing about glory, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. There's a lot of different thoughts about what that glory is speaking of there. We know that when Christ came to this earth, he set aside his glory, and he came to this earth and put on the robe of flesh and dwell as we dwell here upon this earth. So we know that his heavenly glory was set aside, but as he was here upon this earth, certainly as Christ went out and sought to do the will of the Father, he was also glorified by the Father. We see that on several occasions that God spoke out from heaven, and he spoke about how precious that Jesus was and how to hear him. There was a glory given to the Father, and there are some that believe that that's the glory that is passed down to the believers as we walk in his ways, that that's the glory that is spoken of here. But also, you know, many times in this last chapter and in this chapter as well, as Jesus has been praying, one of the things that he does is he speaks in past tense about something that has not fully come into place yet, and he speaks that way because it is such a sure happening. You know, the cross was such a sure happening that he knew that he was going to do it, so he could speak about it in past tense because it was a done deal. It was a set thing. It was not going to change. And it's possible, and to me it seems very probable, that that's what Jesus is speaking of here, that he's speaking in the future tense. Now, mind you, and understand, the Bible certainly speaks of the glorification of the believer. You might remember in the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Then it goes on in verse 30. It says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." So we see he's speaking of the glorification of the believer. And in some sense, in some way, God has placed glory upon the believer in Christ. But you know what? The fullness of that glory will not truly come until we have departed this life. When we no longer wear this robe of flesh, this body of corruption that we have, once that is all past, is when we can begin to be as he is, and we can show forth the glory that is in fullness. But yet that is still something future for us all here. Look in verse number 24. It says, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, but with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." You know what this verse is speaking of? It's speaking of our heavenly hope. Our heavenly hope. It is only then, when we are in heaven, that we will see him in the fullness of his glory. It's only at that point in time. You know, I often think about in the book of Revelation there in chapter 21, where it speaks about the new heavens, the new earth, and it speaks about Christ, and it speaks about how there'll be no need for a sun there because Jesus himself will be the light. Folks, that light is coming from his glory. That glory, I can't imagine what the glory of Christ is truly like. But you know what? I know that there are some whom that we know are already beholding the glory of God this day. Those who have gone on before us, they're already seeing what our eyes desire to see. You know, some of you all have lost some pretty dear people to you in life. Some of you all have lost mothers, fathers. Some of you all have lost children, maybe husbands, things like that over time. Lots of loss in our lives. And I know that that hurt goes on, and it will probably go on until the day that you die as well. But isn't it wonderful to know that for those who died saved, eternally secure in the Father's hand, that right now they're beholding the glory of God in a way that we can't even imagine. You know, right now, They're praising God greater than they could ever praise Him here upon this earth. Right now, they're praising Him louder than they ever did here upon this earth. One of these days, we'll get to see what that's like. One of these days, we'll get to be with them and praise Him together. And truly, won't that be a wonderful and glorious thing? Let's read on verse number 25 here. We're almost done. It says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known Thee, known that Thou hast sent Me. Who is the world here? The world is not all without exception. That's most of the time people read the Word of God. They read the read world and they think it's everybody in particular. But no, right here, this is looking at the unbelieving in nature, those who have not believed. It's speaking about the Jews who saw Him, saw the miracles, saw all that He had done, but yet rejected Him. It's speaking of the Gentiles who saw Christ die there upon the cross, saw the miracles that took place even there at His death, and still yet did not believe. But Jesus also speaks not just of the world, but He speaks of those who are out of this world. He speaks to the believers here and the apostles that are with them. And then He says in verse 26, as He wraps up the prayer here with these words, And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. So we end this chapter here really speaking about the love that God has for His children. A love that cannot be changed. A love that cannot be moved. Now, that brings us to the end of this chapter. Now, there are four more chapters in the Gospel of John. Now, as we turn over to chapter 18, Lord willing, next week, what you're going to find is we're going to move away from a lot of speaking of Christ, and we're going to move more in towards the historical nature of the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. And then, of course, as we get into the latter chapter, speaking there upon the things that took place after the resurrection. Now, Jesus Christ has said a lot of things so far, but they have all pointed us towards what we'll be looking at here in the next few weeks. The last four chapters are truly the apex of the Gospel of John. It's all important, but next week, beginning next week, is truly the beginning of the apex. Now, because it's historical in nature, we'll probably go through some of these chapters with a little bit more speed than what we have done. But you be in prayer for the services next week and at the study, and I hope that the Gospel of Christ never gets old to you. Hope that it never does. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come in Thy presence again this day, Lord, how we thank You for it. Lord, how we thank You for this time together. And Lord, we pray Your blessings upon this continued part of the day, that, Lord, You might be with Brother Greg as he comes to speak, and, Lord, You might continue to be with those next door, with the children. Father, we just pray that You go with us now, lead, guide, and direct us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.